This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome inside WOKV Jaguars Central, the night before Christmas, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Jeff Lagerman is here as well. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Joe Fortunato is here, regaling us with stories of making snickerdoodles, ladies and gentlemen. That's the kind of show we have on tap for you this evening. Actually, we have a really big show for you because the Jaguars have a really big game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Say hello, Joe. Come on. Turn the mic down. There you go.
Hello, Joe.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you're there. Did you bring your Christmas music tonight?
No, I was relying on your phone.
Great.
How about your change maker? I see you're wearing your bus driver shirt.
I got this song if you want to hear it. This is good stuff. This is classic.
We just have to step aside.
This is how we're going to start this show. Okay, pal, well, you wait.
Welcome to Christmas.
You wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, Victor.
The very thought of you.
Say ah.
Ah.
There you go.
Get that mood indigo.
Say ah again. Go ahead.
Ah.
One more time.
Ah.
Okay, one more.
I have to go fill my glass.
He is letting you know who's in charge of this show. Folks, if you've listened for any amount of time, you didn't need to be reminded.
That'll be out on CB2 for the holidays.
I can't believe you wear that shirt.
This is
horrible.
This is one of those bowling-type barber shop shirts.
It's a Tommy Bahama shirt is what it is for folks who know that.
Got the Jaguars logo on it.
Although most Tommy Bahama shirts don't have pockets on them.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a nice-looking shirt.
It looks like it should have a patch on the back that says West Side Lanes.
For the man that's still stuck in plaid,
hey.
He shouldn't talk about fashion.
All right.
Well, hey, Christmas spirit is alive and well here inside WOKV
Good
Jaguars.
For Clark.
You crack me up with all the Clark references.
Mm.
I mean, the one about what did he smash between two bags of dog food had me rolling for days.
Light bulbs. Did you ever see it?
Oh, I did. No.
Most people don't pick up on it.
I saw it. But, yeah, you're right. Most people don't. I will be watching that tonight, by the way.
Did your company kill all those people over in India? No, we missed out on that.
Can you find some lines from that on YouTube or something that we could use through the course of this show? Look, it's the last show before Christmas. And so, you know, no holds barred, folks. Bring it hard and heavy over the course of the next hour and 50 minutes. Let's start with what is a rapidly deteriorating weather situation in New England this weekend. Early on, it looked like we were going to see mid-40s and sun. Maybe some rain on Saturday.
No, they were calling for mid-40s and sun. You're right.
Mid-40s and sun was the forecast as late as Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It has changed dramatically now. We're talking about sleet and snow, an 80% chance of that with a high, obviously, right around the freezing mark on Saturday. And Sunday looks only slightly better. Snow turning to rain as the temperature warms up over the course of the day, but that could change also.
So we have that going for us, which is
nice. You don't expect anything less out of Foxborough in December, right?
Nope. Coach Del Rio wants it. Jack said yesterday that he wants blustery conditions, cold, snow. He thinks that this team's got a bunch of mutters on it.
Patriots would seem to have a bunch of mutters on their team also.
Well, the one good thing, though, is that the playing surface has changed. Okay, it's turf now.
Yeah, field turf.
So whereas before, when the Jaguars had to go there, there was mud. But there's no mud now.
No.
So the footing should be fine. So
was it mud when we were there for the playoff game in 07?
Yeah, it was nasty.
Okay. I don't remember that because for whatever reason it was cold.
I remember going up there and going, I can't believe that they're actually going to play on this field. I mean, it was just terrible. I mean, when you get up into that part of the country, I mean,
nothing grows.
With the synthetic technology that they have, it's a good thing. I think the league finally stepped in on that one because I don't think that Belichick wanted to change it. I mean, because if you have a poor field, it's a significant advantage for the offense, and that's what he was all about. I mean, when you got a quarterback like Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have field turf in Pittsburgh yet, do they?
No.
They talked about it a little bit because you've got two teams playing there for most of the fall. But
they earned their reputation on the strength of one game. The Miami Monday night game with the ball stuck in the mud when it came down, the punt.
They should have field turf on that field.
Well, they have a terrible situation.
Because you got Pitt playing there every
Saturday.
Well,
it's not just Pitt. They play all these high school games late in the season, these championship games. But they've resodded and resodded. And, you know, what happens is when you get a reputation, it sticks with you. For instance, this past Sunday, the Packers-Steelers game. Joe Buck got screwed by the guy in the truck. He hits him with, I guess the guy in the truck tells him, we're going to show a video of Mason Crosby's foot slipping on a field goal attempt. And they show the foot, it never moved. I mean, it was like it's stuck in cement. And, you know, there's Joe Buck saying, now watch his foot slip. And nothing slipped. So, I mean, you get a reputation, and then it doesn't leave you. That field was a mess in the year 2007 when the Jaguars played there. But since then, it hasn't been a problem. New England's reputation was built on before. Their reputation was of a poor field was
Foxborough.
Built.
Foxborough. Remember that night field in 96 that held the divots taken out of it?
Yeah.
Brian Schwartz ripped his knee up on that
field? Yeah, in 96.
September of 96.
That was and the lights went out that night, too.
Yeah, they did. It was cold, too.
Oh, boy, was it cold. It was really cold.
Get a delay in a game like that?
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
But, you know, the thing is, these bad weather games, these bad field condition games, the TV ratings spike.
Yeah.
And you know, and
great theater.
And the media has a big problem. Oh, the media whines and cries about it. But if you ask the players, they're fine with it.
Well, both teams got to play in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the only thing is that when the field is in poor shape, the team that has to react or the side of the ball that has to react has a disadvantage.
Defense.
And that's defense. Mm-hmm. And so when you're playing a team that's very explosive offensively, it's hard enough as it is.
And we had, we had a safety, the Jaguars had a safety scored against them because Maurice Jones-Drew slipped in the end zone on their field in Florida. All right. What game was that?
That was against the Dolphins.
Dolphins 2 weeks ago.
Well, that really hurt them.
Two and a half weeks ago.
Oh, man.
No, it wasn't
week and a half.
It was Buffalo.
No, it wasn't Buffalo. It was Houston.
Houston?
Was why it was 23-18.
Okay. Yeah. So they overcame that.
Yep.
And then, of course, the Dolphins game, there was a lot of slipping. That was the one that was just everyone was falling down all over the place. And then again against the Colts the other night, there was more slipping. So, I mean, it's late in the season, and if you want these natural turf fields, you're going
to
have
I like grass, but, I mean, the there are certain places that need to have the synthetic.
I agree. Pittsburgh,
multiple
New England.
Multiple-use stadiums have to have
Does Cleveland have it? Does Cleveland have the synthetic turf?
No, they're regular grass. And that's a particular problem there because they're right on Lake Erie, so their water table, they're down.
Even with the new stadium, I mean, the old one was – I mean, it was like a bog.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
But even the new one, it's much better. But there's still, I mean, as the years go by, the field sinks.
All right, we need a break. When we return, we'll start your calls, questions, and comments. The Jaguars and Patriots, Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. You'll hear all of it right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV, starting at 10 a.m. Back after this.
And this here's our pride and joy. Snark.
Pretty name, Ed.
Yeah, we named him that because he's got the sinus condition. Nuts, you roll over and let Uncle Clark scratch your belly.
You ain't never seen a set on a dog like this one, Scott Clark. That's okay, Eddie.
That's something, ain't it? You pet him, Clark, on the belly, and he'll love you till the day you die.
I really shouldn't. My hands are all chapped.
It's Christmas.
Vic's favorite movie, go figure. Mm-hmm. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I have a feeling that's not going to be the last that you hear of that this evening. Phone number is 355-NFL-1. If you'd like to join us this evening, if you're out and about getting your last-minute Christmas shopping done, if you're Bahati Van Pelt, who's probably sitting in that horrid traffic, he was headed for the Orange Park Mall an hour and 20 minutes ago.
And there's traffic?
Oh, Blanding and 295?
It's not good.
Two nights before Christmas?
Yeah, they're going out shopping.
Oh, good luck.
Not that he's buying anything for Faith. I'm sure he did that already.
Of course.
I did it this afternoon. I went out.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Done.
One fell swoop?
Yeah.
Blender?
No.
Appliance of any kind?
I would call it an appliance. The towel and grout cleaner. What would you call that?
I would call that a household utility.
Vic got her vacuum cleaner and ShamWow's as stocking stuffers.
Oh, yeah. What did the uncle say? Oh, Bethany, he guessed it.
He knows every line, folks. Just challenge him with it if you've got it. So how good are the Patriots?
Jeff?
Not as good as what they were. You know, I mean, that's pretty obvious just looking at their record. But Tom Brady's not the same. And obviously that's a quarterback-driven team. And, you know, for the last couple of years, it's amazing how the number of passes that he has thrown has just, I mean, ramped dramatically. But the talent, I think, around him is about the same. But, I mean, here's a guy coming back from a knee. And today I watched the Buffalo tape, and Aaron Schobel, the pass rushing defensive end, was attempted. There was a guy trying to cut block him, and Schobel jumps over the guy and lunges at Tom Brady. And the only place that he could go, really couldn't stop himself, was around the leg and twisted that knee that he had had surgically fixed. And it was a good thing that the Patriots had an early lead against the Bills, and they have a really inept offense, because after that they just grounded out. But Tom, every time he got some traffic around him, you could tell he's protecting that lead leg when he steps.
He didn't practice today. Right shoulder, right finger, rip.
You know, and you know, can't ever believe an injury report by Bill Belichick.
Nah, that's why I don't even know
why I looked at it. I should.
You know, and so, but he's not the same. Defensively, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork are out. I mean, are they going to play this week? We don't know. But, hey, when you start missing frontline guys, no team is going to be the same.
Nope.
Richard Seymour is not there.
Nope.
Teddy Bruschi is not there. But that's not a big loss in my mind as far as on-the-field play, maybe as when it comes to leadership. But, hey, they're not the same team personnel-wise. And they have a lot of rookies. I mean, that's the surprising thing. You know, getting the board ready, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4 – on defense, and on offense, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, when's the last time you remember the Patriots having a 9-rookie roster in their Super Bowl run here that we've seen lately?
I think their problems have been in the personnel department. They've had too much turnover from Bobby Greer through Scott Pioli and, who's the guy now? Who's the guy now?
I don't even know who it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's always said it's Bill Belichick anyway.
They just lost too many guys. The last really quality draft they had was the Logan Mankins draft. What was it, 05 or 04?
No, I think it was, wasn't it the year that they took, it was 06, the year they took Matt Jones here, because Mankins was at the back end of that draft.
Okay, so the last really good draft they've had was 06. They had 04, 05, 06 were good drafts. That was their second wave, and then they've been dead ever since. They got Gerard Mayo last year, but that's all they got out of that crop. That was I don't have it in front of me.
That would be 05.
Yeah,
Matt Jones was 05. He was 05.
That's what I thought. Mankins was their 05 draft. That's their last really good draft, 06, 07, 08. And so far, 09, nothing to write home about.
No, Merriweather hasn't really panned out at
just
the safety position. You know, I wanted to tell you guys this. Their right guard, Stephen Neal, has been hurt. And I know he had some concussion issues, I think, earlier in the year. He's listed with having an ankle. You know, is it the ankle now? I don't know. But interesting in that the guy who started at least the last three games for him is Dan Conley. You remember him?
Yeah, practice squad guy here, bottom of the roster guy here. Looked like he had a future. And then
he had a bad camp one year, and then they let
camp.
Him go.
His second camp.
That's
he
right.
He had a really good camp and you know, his rookie year, he was an undrafted guy, looked like he was a jar on a shelf. And then the second camp he had was just a dog.
He had a bad camp.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up getting cut somehow, somewhere along the way, he gets picked up by the Patriots. He's playing really well.
Hmm.
He pretty much hammered Marcus Stroud.
You have to stick with these guys. This draft and develop, or sign and develop, you know, for undrafted guys. Especially with offensive linemen, you can't quit on them. That is truly a craft. Playing offensive line in this league is truly a skill.
Did they release him last year? It wasn't this year.
No, it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was last year, I believe.
It's an acquired trait.
Camp last year.
And you have
no, it was more than that. It was 3 years ago, right? He's in his fourth year, Dan Connolly.
Oh, he's been going at least 2 years here, at least.
So, but anyway, I just thought you guys would find that interesting. I mean, there was a guy that, I mean, heck, when we saw him as a rookie, we were like, well, hey, wow, how about this?
He looked like a future. Was he a SEMO or?
Southeast Missouri State.
Yeah, thought so.
Cape Girardeau.
Came out of a good small college. I wouldn't call it small college, but second-level college program.
Yeah, it's small is a good way to describe it. Okay. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's check in with Van. We mentioned that he left about an hour and 25 minutes ago, headed for the Orange Park Mall. Are you out of the car yet, Van?
Not only am I out of the car, I am back in the car heading back over the Buckman Bridge, about to get off on Old St. Augustine Road to go home.
Good for you.
It was actually not that bad. I went 10 to Roosevelt and then Blanding, so I came that way. I didn't mess with 295. The traffic around the mall is horrendous, as you would imagine, but, you know, got to do what you got to do. And no, it was not for my wife, if she's listening. Your present was purchased this weekend during the bye weekend when I had time. I did not procrastinate. It is for actually some people on the team.
You are trying to save your own hide.
It's intimidating.
But as you say, Jeff, I'll kick my coverage a long time ago, so I don't want to mess it up. So.
All right, Van.
You have anything you'd like
one.
To ask him about mall traffic?
No, I wouldn't go.
Remember, we used
they're
to
not
do
a sponsor, are they?
No.
I wouldn't go near one of those places.
You know, you remember we used to do
this
a show
time
there.
Of year?
We used to do a show at the. At the Orange Park Mall at the Fridays there every Friday night.
Yeah. I mean, this time of year, I get the shakes. I literally get the shakes if my wife says, do you want to go shopping with me? I get chills.
Van, we certainly appreciate you checking in and giving Vic the chills that he needed.
Well, Vic, I usually have the agreement that I buy for my wife and she buys for everybody else, but I got stuck with going to the mall this year, so.
Bad year for you. Hopefully 2010 will be better.
Happy holidays, guys. If I don't see y'all before Friday, and I'll see you on the plane on Saturday.
Okay.
See you, Van. That's Van checking you.
All right, so the Fred Taylor saga.
Yeah, by the way, first of all, today. Why did we call him?
He didn't. No, we didn't call him. He called us.
Why did he call us? To tell us he wasn't stuck in traffic?
To wish you a happy holiday.
Okay. It's one of those shows.
I was just wondering why that call
took place. Yeah, anything goes tonight. You know, I mean, you're going to hear Clark talking about chapped hands.
I was figuring we were going to sell something, and then I didn't hear anything sold. Okay.
No, we sold nothing.
Okay, you want to talk about Fred?
Yeah.
It was enchanting. You would have loved it. We did the interview right here in the radio studio.
Well, the Q&A that was in the Times Union with Michael Wright. Mm-hmm. I didn't think Fred helped himself out a whole lot in that Q&A.
No.
A few things said there by Fred about the L.A., the London, four teams in this town is too many. Mm-hmm. Hey, Fred didn't help himself.
No, he
he's never had a filter, though, you know? I mean, everything just comes
out. No, I know, but I mean, yeah.
He had to step lively today. He had some steps to retrace, and he did. He retraced him. He did very well. Peace has been restored. Judging by the emails I'm getting from fans to ask Vic, who saw the story I posted this afternoon, they're satisfied that Fred loves them again, and so that was just, I guess that was just like a 2-day event for the media for us to have something easy to write, and I enjoyed that. Thank you very much. It was real easy. Fred went blah 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 blah, and Jack Del Rio went down the hall. And he said, ba 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 ba. And, you know, then today Fred said, forget about ba 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 ba.
So you got three stories.
That's how that works.
Keenan McCardell used to work for you.
Exactly. You know, with Keenan, if you put into a story that he might be losing a step, you were getting a story tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. The head coach didn't like the thing about the film thing.
I don't know that I blame him, although he probably should have.
But his response was kind of he had a smile on his face. He was joking and laughing. It's not like he got angry.
Well, if I'd have been Jack, my first thought would have been, well, gee, Fred, I don't remember you watching much film in the spring. if you know what I mean. OTAs.
Working out in South Florida.
I got you.
Okay. That would have been my first thought. And then my second thought would have been, don't say anything. It's not worth it.
All right.
Jack didn't get to the second thought.
No. We have reached the bottom of the hour. Time for the news here on News Talk Radio. WOKV. Depend on it.
He's cute, ain't he? Only problem is he's got a little bit of Mississippi leghound in him. If the mood catches him right, he'll grab your leg and just go to town. You don't want him around if you wear his short pants, if you know what I mean. A word of warning, though, if he does lay into you, it's best to just let him finish.
That's
terrible.
Come on,
Joe, man.
Joe.
Whoa.
Can't you find anything else? Okay. About the dog? Please talk into the microphone.
You don't like the dog.
No, I just wondered if you could find something.
Joe's really good. He likes snots. Yeah.
All right, phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1. If you are outside our calling area, listening on the internet, and want to join toll-free, 355-NFL1. Let's grab Chad, who joins us from Savannah. Hello, Chad. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I was on last week, and I brought up the topic about Derek Harvey and the defense. But after watching the game last week, you see David Garrard operating the offense. He did a really good job, except for that one fatal mistake. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of seeing this Jekyll and Hyde. What's going to make this offense roll week in and week out like we saw last week?
Jeffrey?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, you can't expect teams every week to score 31 points. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I was kind of waiting since last Thursday night to talk about the performance of David Garrard because he's been getting a lot of heat, you know, because of the inability to win that game at the end, an opportunity in the Miami game. At the end of that Indianapolis Colts game, the interception that he threw, he had pressure. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just, I mean, totally ignore that.
Oh, he had it in his face.
I mean, he had...
That's why he threw it high.
Robert Mathis ended up beating Uche Nwaneri, the right guard, mm-hmm. on a little stunt, came in, and he actually got a hand on David. Mm-hmm. And that had to contribute to the slightly overthrown ball that was intercepted. And a lot of people want to focus in on that throw, and there was, I think, two other throws that were a little high. But, boy, look at the plays that he made in that game. Mm-hmm. And, hey, you know me, I'm going to criticize him if it's worthy of being criticized because some of the plays that he had in San Francisco I thought were poor.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, did you see the play that he showed, the end zone view of David's throw on third and goal from the 13 to Mike Thomas? Well, and
unbelievable.
It's tough to relay it from video to radio, but I'll tell you this. You got the end zone view. You're looking at the end zone. You're looking at David standing right in front of the crossbars. And he throws the ball, and the ball is coming out of his hand before Mike Thomas even breaks into the screen. Mm-hmm. He is throwing the ball to a spot, mm-hmm. and it was the spot, perfectly thrown.
I thought the touchdown pass to Sims Walker was just as good. He threaded that, you know, beautifully between a couple guys. He was on top of his game for three quarters. Then the fourth quarter came, and, you know, he slumped. That's a problem. If that's your criticism, I will agree with you. You have a valid point. 67.9 fourth quarter passer rating is not what you want. If that's the criticism, that he hasn't played well in the fourth quarter, although he has three comeback wins this year, the Jets, the Bills,
and the Rams,
where he picked this team up in the fourth quarter, put him on his back, and carried them to victory. Nonetheless... 67.9 is 67.9 in the fourth quarter, and that's not good. If you look at the guys at the top, you're looking at Manning, you're looking at Rodgers, you're looking at Roethlisberger, you're looking at Breeze. Those are the guys at the top. The best quarterbacks in the league are the guys with the highest passer ratings in the fourth quarter.
Tom Brady is only ranked 19th in fourth quarter passing.
That's right, and I was just going there. And what did you say? He's not the same guy.
No. No, but you look at Tom Brady on third down, and he's the fourth-rated passer. David Garrard is the 11th-rated passer. You know, so all the people that are wanting to jump all over David and say, boy, you got to find another quarterback. Hey, look, they don't grow on trees, and people are trying to compare Peyton Manning against David Garrard. How do you do that?
No, you don't. You just don't do that. Look, 31 points is enough to win a game. You should, anytime you score 31 points, you should win that game. This team has much bigger problems than quarterback. It has problems all over its defense. Defensive line, the linebackers, the safety. I mean, my God, what's going on at safety is it's horrendous. And I say safety not because I'm trying to indict Gerald Alexander, Sean Considine, and Anthony Smith. I'm just avoiding saying a particular name because, you know, I don't want to. I just don't want to hammer this guy to death. But I will. Reggie Nelson is just, it's just horrible, horrible. To try to punch the ball out, to try to block tackle Dallas Clark, to try to block tackle a tight end, you know, in the red zone after a catch, it's not only nonsensical.
Well, you had two plays that Reggie had that were just, I mean, they don't get any worse than that. And they led directly to 14 points.
And here's what really bothers me.
And then you had a kick return for a touchdown. So, I mean, you're talking 21 points, which you may end up holding that back down to 10.
Right.
You at least you have the chance, you know, if you just make a play.
Now, tell me if I'm right on this. I'm going to tell you what really bothers me, and tell me if this should bother me. I'm watching him. All game long, the ball is snapped, and he's running straight back 30 yards. I mean, he's running into the river. But when it comes time to run back for a good reason, he runs forward. I'm talking about the bomb to Wayne. Am I right?
Well, he was a deep half safety, and he squared his feet up. And you don't square your feet up when you're a deep half safety and you got a vertical route.
He's taking some what I call awfully convenient angles to the ball.
And they haven't talked much, the coaches or anybody, haven't said anything about what's going to happen with Reggie. Is he going to play this week or is he not?
No, Jack said it. He said it. I don't know why we missed that yesterday. For whatever reason, when I say we, I mean media. For whatever reason, he said it. We're not going to change. That's the exact quote. We're not going to change right now. But for whatever reason, we kept pounding at him and pounding at him. And when you do that to a coach, he's going to resist you.
Right.
He said, we're not going to change right now.
But today, when I talked to him, he said Reggie was going to play quite a bit less.
Yeah, I think Reggie's play time is going to drop.
Yeah. So the question that I have for you is, if that's the case, and he's not going to play,
you have to lessen his play time. I mean, otherwise you're sending the wrong message to the rest of the
Jeff,
players.
Jeff, how long does this have to go on? Justin Gage last year, we're playing patty cake down the sideline.
Vic, just hold off until Sunday. You'll get your answer on Sunday. Then we'll know.
Okay.
But I think this is it. I think that was it. National TV, Reggie Nelson, and what year is this now for Reggie? Four?
It's his third year.
Third year? Year three?
Did you hear what Bill Cowher said in the studio show on Sunday? They were talking about that game. He was talking about bad tackling in the league. And he said, it was pathetic. You know, Reggie Nelson trying to block tackle Dallas Clark was pathetic. This is December. This is when you sell out. Block tackle is what you do in August.
Just hold on.
Okay.
I think things are going to change on Sunday. And I don't know that. That's just my guess. Because you can't allow a performance like that to go unnoticed and to go unaddressed to the rest of the team, because I think it sends the wrong message.
Well, that's what Jack said.
I sat with the coach this morning, and he said as much.
He said you don't stay in the lineup playing that way.
No, you don't.
That's the logical answer.
Now, when I talked to him, he didn't give up on Reggie. He wasn't willing to wash him out right here, right now, but he did say, and he wouldn't say what they were going to do, but he said, we're going to do something.
What are you going to do with him?
Anthony Smith is going to go play, I would think, right? I mean, he's the next guy on the
depth
chart.
He's the one that's been playing pretty good. Sean Considine has gotten some reps, but I would imagine, you know, because they play so many different combinations, I would think that those two will get some of the load off of Reggie.
You tell me Marlon McCree wouldn't have given him a better performance this year? Hey, wait a minute. Let me remind you something, guys. All right. We all understand that he's not a good tackler. But that's okay because we got all these interceptions, right?
None. 355-NFL-1.
You're angry today.
Enough is enough.
Merry Christmas. We'll take a break and return with plenty of phone calls here on Jaguars This Week.
You remember Ruby too? Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Her eyes aren't crossed anymore.
That's something, ain't it? She falls in a well, eyes go crossed. She gets kicked by a mule, they go back to normal. I don't know.
Without a doubt, the star of the show, right?
Oh,
it wouldn't have been the same without Quaid.
And the show didn't really start until he showed up in the driveway. You know,
yeah.
That was right after Clark got done killing the plastic reindeer.
Yeah, and the lights finally came on.
Yeah,
and then he's going around hugging everybody. And
hope you
setting.
Didn't do this all on my account, Clark.
Welcome back, Jaguars. This week, the Christmas edition. And we are foregoing the holiday music, at least at this point, for sounds of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
You know, the point I was trying to make is that everybody wants to nail David Garrard for that game Thursday. But this team has much bigger problems than David Garrard. It's got no pass rush. It's not rushing the passer, and it's not covering the receivers, and that's a bad combination. All right, you got a much bigger problem on defense than you do a quarterback.
I agree. I agree in a big way because, boy, if there's anybody to be angry at in that game, I mean Reggie. I mean that wasn't good.
No, not in December, especially not in December.
Well, and it wasn't the first time.
Nope.
You know, and I think that's why you're going to see some change.
Justin
so,
Gage.
We'll see.
And then who was it in Tennessee this year?
Well, he missed a tackle on Chris Johnson.
That's the one.
Yeah. On one of his runs to the outside. Couple moments you'd like to forget.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they called him the Eraser. If you remember
Erasing moments?
355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Let's go to Chris, who joins us from Coconut Creek. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. How are you this Christmas week?
I am good. I just wanted to call in and tell you one thing, man. Thursday night, I live in South Florida, mm-hmm. and Thursday night I was inside a local bar packed with Colts fans and Dolphins fans who were both rooting against me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, even though we lost, I walked out of that place with my Mathis jersey. My head held so high. I was so proud to be a fan that night. I really don't get what these people are complaining about, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. I agree with you. When you have lost twice to an undefeated team 15 weeks into the season by a combined 6 points.
And a Hall of Fame quarterback.
And against a quarterback who's just playing like nothing you've ever seen. And you're in a rebuilding year. You have reason to be proud.
Heck yeah. I felt great about that. It was just a shame in a game like that you had to have somebody lose. I mean, because really, both teams, I mean, gosh. Does it get any better than that? I mean, really, if you're not,
fabulous.
If you were just a fan of football, watch that game, it doesn't get any better than that.
You know, this is what I had. This was my weekend, and so I can't complain. Thursday night, I see that great game, 35-31. Fabulous game. Sunday, I start out with Dolphins, Titans, and Falcons, Jets, and I'm going back and forth. You know, that little button
last.
On the remote.
Yeah, the last button.
Yeah. Blast, yeah. Recall. Yeah. So I'm going back and forth. And I see two games that each end on a touchdown or a score. A field goal in overtime and a touchdown on the last play of regulation. Isn't that right?
The Falcons game didn't end on a touchdown in the last play of regulation. No, because the Jets got the ball back and were driving and the Falcons intercepted him.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So, but anyhow, I see these two great finishes. I figure, hey, can't get any better than this. And then comes the Packers and the Steelers, which is, you know, oh, my God. You start to wonder, did this really happen, or is this like a hologram or something, you know? I mean, how can it get better than this? This had to be the best weekend of the season in the NFL.
By far.
The games were just fabulous.
But then Monday night rolled around and the Washington Redskins showed up.
They showed up to play.
Hey, you know, what's with these coaches?
Oh, man.
What is with these coaches? Zorn pulls the swinging gate, and he does it after a timeout, comes back with the same thing. All right. Tomlin goes for an onside kick with a two-point lead. Belichick goes for it on fourth down in his own territory. What's with these coaches? Are they? I mean, Lombardi is rolling and rolling and rolling.
The conventional or the unconventional has become conventional in the NFL.
Yes. It's Nutsville.
Convention is now unconventional. 355 NFL 1. Did we? Chris had a question about the draft. Joe, can you plug him back up there? Chris, did we get all of your questions answered?
Real quick, the comments that Mr. Weaver said and the fans, you know, making it such a big deal that they draft Tebow. I mean, I truly, truly trust Gene. Do you think all these things going on will change Gene's? I mean, do you think it'll influence who he picks in the draft?
No.
No. I wouldn't worry about that.
No.
Here's the way this works.
Here it is. If the grade meets the pick, maybe.
The Gene's job is to put a winner on the field. He is well on his way to doing that. My job is in our Brian and Jeff and my jobs are to cover this team. The fans' job is to enjoy it. I hate to call it a job. It's not a job. It's
you're part in the equation.
Yeah. I mean, this is for the fans to support if they wish to do that. Gene Smith can't be responsible for putting a winner on the field and selling tickets. That's too much. He's only responsible for putting a winner on the field.
Chris, we appreciate your phone call. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's grab Mike from the South Side, probably the final caller of the first hour. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
All right, real simple. I was watching a game in Tampa at a bar, and the third and 13 pass late in the fourth quarter happened. They got to 19 yards. And it got called back on a false start. They showed a replay from the end zone. I didn't see anybody move.
No, it was
illegal formation.
Yeah, it was Mike Thomas.
It was an illegal formation. What had happened is Mercedes had stepped on the line of scrimmage, and Mike Thomas, who was the slot receiver, should have stepped back off the line, and he didn't, and it was an illegal formation.
Okay, all right, so that was a real call. I thought, because I think initially they said it was a false start or something like that, or at least that's what I heard.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was a gift at the time.
Nope, illegal formation, and it was a good call.
Okay. That's all I had, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you, Mike.
Now, if you want to be really hard on David Garrard, here's an opening. That's something he should see.
He
as
should
a quarterback,
see that.
He should see that his tight end is covered, and he should motion back Mike Thomas.
Step back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, those are the kind of things that a quarterback has to have awareness
right.
for, no question.
All right, we have come to the end of the first hour of Jaguars this week. It's not our usual show. I think you'd agree with that, right, Joe? In the microphone, Joe.
Yeah. He nodded his head in the microphone.
The microphone. All right, but we've got another hour ahead. It's fun. It's real.
Talk
it's,
for about 60 seconds.
It's real fun.
Oh,
it's
that's
real,
no
real
problem.
Fun.
That's no problem at all. Let's see. I'm gonna pick out some Christmas vacation selections during this this timeout.
What would be your favorite?
I can't find the one. Is it Mr. Shirley? What you're always saying? You kill those people and
Eddie says they're in buying the gifts, and this is where he gives him the list of gifts to buy.
Okay.
You know, and get yourself something real nice, Clark. Real nice. Okay. All right. But so he says. Really? He says to him, "Was that your company that killed off all those people in India?" Clark says, "No, we missed out on that."
That's not his old boss that he's talking to.
No, the store. He's in the
all
store.
Right, I'm looking for it.
Yeah. And my absolute favorite is when he's talking about they lost all their money. He said, "Would have been okay if we hadn't given all that money to the preacher that was screwing the hockey player." He said, "What about the kids?" He said, "Hey, these kids got to fend for themselves."
And with that, we break for news.
This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio, WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome. Hour number two now, Jaguars This Week, our Christmas Eve edition, even though it's Christmas Eve Eve. You could join us 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Vic Ketchman is here. Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato sends his holiday greetings to you. Here is the latest weather for Foxborough. We've been talking about how it's been deteriorating. There's that big system. Play weatherman for a moment, because you came in here.
I've been watching it all week.
About an hour and a half ago, and you were talking about a high-pressure system off the coast of Virginia, or at least right above Virginia, that's keeping that snow blizzard storm coming across the upper Midwest from getting all the way across
the country. They think that high pressure is going to push this killer, this enormous storm front that's coming from the west. They think this high pressure front is going to push it north into Canada. But, you know, they've been, this weather forecast has been deteriorating slowly this week. If in the beginning of the week they were calling for 47 degrees and sunshine on Sunday.
Right.
Now we're down to mid-40s and rain. The day before was similar. They were calling mid-40s and sun. Now they're talking mid-30s and possible snow.
Right.
This thing is, it's getting downgraded. The weather forecast is deteriorating. And there's a chance that this could be, that Jack Del Rio could get his wish. There's a chance that this could be a real mud bowl, slop bowl, ice bowl, whatever. I mean,
no mud, artificial field.
Well, right. Yeah, right. That's right. I keep forgetting it's artificial turf.
Just the middle of the country is getting hammered. My parents, as you know, live in Kansas, and they're getting snow and freezing rain, and all of that is moving up and across. So here's the forecast right now. A snow starts Friday night in Foxborough. Saturday, right now, 60% chance of snow and sleet. Saturday night, 80% chance of rain. They're having the temperature right now 33 degrees. Sunday, rain, snow likely. They've got the high in the mid-40s. So that's where the weather stands now.
And if the temperatures drop a little bit, then you have the potential for a real snow event because, as you know, anyone from up there knows, when you get those wet snows, the flakes are about the size of watermelons, you know, or cantaloupes. I mean, they're big, giant flakes.
That'd be good for the Jaguars.
That's what Jack Del Rio thinks.
Absolutely.
I've talked to some. Terry McDonough said the same thing. They're
from that neck of the woods.
Director of, Terry's from Boston. Yep. Will McDonough's son.
Yes.
Who was a longtime Boston Globe.
Pulitzer Prize sports writer.
Exactly. Covered the Patriots. And the guys up there know that when you get that 34 degree snow, it's a wet snow. And, boy, they really pile up, and the flakes come down in a hurry, and they're big.
Would be great theater. 355-NFL-1 if you'd like to join us on the program this evening. 355-6351. Let's grab a couple of phone calls, and we'll start with Brian, who joins us from Mandarin. Brian, welcome to the show.
Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
The Patriots got 5 losses this season, all on the road.
Mm-hmm.
3 of them they've scored less than 20 points. What in the tape room can the Jaguars learn from some of these other teams who have succeeded in having a defensive scheme?
Well, there are two of those games. Certainly there's things that their head coach could learn.
Mm-hmm.
In Indianapolis, he went for it on 4th-and-2, didn't make it, and gave the ball back to Peyton Manning. At Miami, a 4th-and-1 inside the tight red zone, he ends up going for it.
Right.
He doesn't make it, and they lose by 2.
Right.
So, is there anything that the Jaguars can learn? No, I don't think so, because you know what? Hey, the Patriots, for whatever reason, personnel, coaching, they're not the same. I don't think there's any difference as to why they've had success at home and not on the road, because they played well on the road at times.
The Saints lit them up with a pass, but the Saints light up a lot of teams with a pass. What is your opinion of them as a run defense?
Not
versus
very
a...
much. I mean, if they don't have their two big guys on the defensive front, and that's Ty Warren and Vince Wilfork, if they don't have those two guys, they're going to struggle. Against the Buffalo Bills, I mean, the Buffalo Bills are just in shambles along the offensive line. They pick up Rich Incognito, and he's playing right away. If they had played in last week's game another team besides the Bills, a team that could run football, they would have lost because they could not stop the run. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Bills were having success running the football, but the Buffalo Bills have a struggling offensive line, and they have major issues at quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, hey, the Patriots aren't what they once were. This is not the Patriots that ran the schedule and made it all the way to the Super Bowl undefeated. They're not that team anymore.
If Vince Wilfork is in the lineup, how different is their defense?
It changes a little bit. I mean, he's probably one of the best nose tackles in the game, but Vince Wilfork, I don't even think he's playing at the level that he did a few years ago. A couple years ago, he was the best nose tackle in football.
The coach talked last night on his show about getting four hands on that guy when he plays.
Yeah, you double team him.
Yeah.
You double team him. And, you know, the linebacking position, I mean, Gerard Mayo's a good football player. The other guy that they got in the middle, number 59, Gary Guyton, he's just a guy. Run it right at him. And even if Vince Wilfork is in the lineup, obviously he's dinged. Run it.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Much more to come on this edition of the Jaguars This Week program. And we will return right after this.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Vic Ketchman will rejoin us momentarily. Joe Fortunato's here as well, nodding into the microphone as always.
He's a master.
Of what, though?
He is the master of the control room.
Yeah. Yeah,
nobody can push buttons like Joe Fortunato.
We love you, Joe. Thanks for coming back from Dallas after abandoning us last year. Nice to have you back at Christmas this year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You banished me for a year. I got punished for a year.
You is called me as I was going over the Matthews Bridge one day and said I'm going to Dallas. That's long ago and far away. It's nice to have you back. Have you got any more clever little quips from
Christmas vacation? Vic's not here, so let's save it. Okay. Let's save it because he's the one who really enjoys all that stuff.
This is one of his favorites.
Well, wait, here he comes now. So, Vic, come sit down.
Put his little headphones on.
Put your headset on. We've got more Christmas vacation for you. Cool. You didn't hear that, folks, but Vic, in his own way, said cool. All right, here we go, Joe.
Well, don't go putting all that stuff on my sled, Clark. You know that metal plate in my head?
How could I forget?
I had to have it replaced because every time Catherine revved up the microwave, I'd piss my pants and forget who I was for a half hour or so. So over at the VA, they had to replace it with a plastic one, and it ain't as strong. So I don't know if I ought to go sailing down no hill with nothing between the ground and my brain but a piece of government plastic.
You really think it matters, Eddie?
Well, you see, the plate runs right underneath my part here. And see, over here, it's, you know, nothing. But here, if this gets dented, then my hair just ain't going to look right.
Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Our gift to you. 355-NFL1. Pat joins us from the South Side to start this segment off. Pat, welcome to the show.
Hello. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and I decided to buy season tickets for next year. I used to...
Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all of us as well.
Well, thank you very much. And I'd like to inspire all those other Jaguar fans out there that are trying to sit and watch the football game on TV when they should be in the seats watching it where it's much more exciting, and supporting our team because we cannot lose this team. It's a great thing for Jacksonville to have the Jaguars. And I can't imagine what it would be like to lose them.
Well, if that didn't come shining through last Thursday, I mean, that was the night. That was the night. You know, and NFL Network, the way they showcased Jacksonville, it was a 3-hour hug.
They did a good job. But, you know, and Pat, we had a lot of comments to friends of ours and people that were at the game about, boy, what a great atmosphere. They did a great job putting on the pregame party and all that. And my comment to them was, the party wasn't about having events. The party was about being there in numbers. I mean, because it was an event. I mean, there were so many people there. That's what made it the event.
Yeah, you know, you can't do Save the Whale 10 times a year. You can only save the whale once in a while. The whale needed saving. I think the whale has been saved for now. I think last Thursday's game, you know, got the whale back in the water a little bit. It's breathing again.
Well, and
but we have to now take that whale out to sea, you know, and get him healthy. You know what I mean by that?
Oh, and what you mean by
sell a lot of tickets,
right?
Sell a lot of tickets going into 2010,
right?
And you know what? What a great sell that it's going to be, because you know what? If Gene Smith can continue to do what he did this year to this team, okay, and the head coach can continue to develop talent like he has done, what would you not get excited about?
I can't wait to get on a plane Saturday. I can't wait for the game on Sunday. I mean, I've done this for 38 years, but I am genuinely excited. I love December football. I love sitting at home Sunday and watching those games. They were fabulous.
And if I told you you were going to get on a plane to go to New England the day after Christmas and be excited about a game that had meaning to it, you would have laughed.
Back in August?
You would have laughed.
I'd have laughed.
Man, you've been around this too long to say that.
I would have said, yeah, I'll be going to New England to do to bury Fred. You know,
laughed at me when I said this team could get to 10.
Yeah, I did. I thought that was preposterous.
Which, I mean, they obviously are not going to get to 10, but I mean, they had a chance.
Right. I had only one high end hope for this team, and that is that somehow, some way, there would be enough collapso around them, meaning the other teams in the AFC, which has happened to some degree.
Well, yeah, they just haven't been able to take advantage of
that. That this team could overachieve a little bit, and the other ones would underachieve, and that for a week or two in December, they would be in the hunt. But I never thought that I would have three high-profile games in a row, and that's what we have here: Dolphins, Colts, and Patriots.
Three the Texans in there too.
Okay,
that's four.
All right, that's four. But I'm talking about three super high-profile, three high-profile games on consecutive games. On three weekends, and it's I'm deliriously happy because I never thought it was going to happen.
Since you bring up Gene Smith and the job he's doing, your buddy Mel Kiper, and I say that tongue in cheek,
Mel Kiper, one of my old long lost friends
from the 89,
he loves you
from the 89 draft, folks. If you didn't watch,
he loves
it, you're
you and Trent Dilfer, yours two favorites.
Oh, yeah.
But Mel Kiper was no fan of Jeff's, but maybe you won't be after this if you're not already not a fan of his. He regraded the draft, and he has the Jaguars.
What did he give the Jaguars
in the spring,
initially?
It was a C+.
Okay.
Today, it's a B. Behind a lot of really pedestrian drafts as far as I see it, like the Houston Texans and the Cincinnati Bengals, which he terms incomplete. There are a lot of teams here who are out of the playoff race, who are not getting a huge contribution from their rookie class, who have higher grades.
Well, you got to remember one thing about when Mel goes to regrade the draft. It means if he gives it too high of a grade after he gave it a bad grade, then
he looks bad.
He looks bad.
Yep.
So, well, I mean, how far is Mel Kiper going to really go at adjusting his initial
all
grade?
All right. But for the Texans, for instance, he talks about Brian Cushing and says that he's a rookie of the year candidate, which you have said for
absolutely.
A while. And then he says Connor Barwin needs to get better. And then he names Glover Quinn, should turn out well, and gives them a higher grade. When you could go,
their draft dies right there.
Yeah.
That their draft just fell flat.
So how is it that they're so much higher
now,
ranked?
If you wanted to give the Philadelphia Eagles top grades, which he gives the Eagles, because the Eagles have, they got McCoy and Macklin.
He gave him a B in the spring. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm looking at the wrong one.
I'm sure he would have given him an A in the spring.
He gave them a B- in the spring.
Really?
And a B+ today.
See, now the Eagles have a really good draft. But in my opinion, this one is still better, because it's got big guys in it that are going to last 10 years.
Let me read you his comments on the Jaguars draft. And this is regrading now. Spring grade C+, current grade B. I understood the Eugene Monroe pick and thought Eben Britton was a reach. I also thought Derek Cox was a reach and was convinced the later rounds were good. But these early picks have panned out. That's it? All three are starters, and the later picks add depth. Will Britton and Monroe be stars? There's work to be done, but if filling needs is the goal, objectives were met. Where's Terrence Knighton?
Filling needs was not the goal.
Where's Terrence Knighton in this?
I don't know.
Hey, Mel, are you kidding?
Where's Mike Thomas?
Were there nine defensive tackles drafted in the first three rounds, and Terrence Knighton is the only one to start every game?
The personnel guys think he's gotten sloppy in recent years, and Todd McShay is trumped him.
Okay. Well, I mean, that much is, if you follow this draft, the one thing that the Jaguars can hang their head on this year is Gene Smith's draft class.
It's outstanding. It's the best in the league, in my opinion. I give it high marks. I give Arizona high marks. Arizona's had a really, really good draft, too, with Beanie Wells and LaRod Stevens Howling and a couple other guys that slipped my mind right away. And the Eagles had a very, very strong draft. But, you know, in my opinion, the Jaguars draft is better than both of them.
Right there at the top. All right, we have come to the bottom of the hour. And it's time for news. We have 30 more minutes of Jaguars this week, and I imagine at least one or two more clips from Christmas Vacation.
What? This box is meowing.
Let me see it. She wrapped up her damn cat.
Welcome back. Jaguars this week. The right headset. Just doing that. We've got 26 minutes and one more commercial timeout. So if you want to join us, feel free. 355-NFL-1. Lee is in San Marco. Hello, Lee.
Good evening, guys. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Terrific show. Mike Mayock on the NFL Network is the best draft guy.
He's great
to listen to. He is terrific.
You have Mike Mayock stories, don't you?
Yeah, I have a Mike Mayock story, but let the caller go ahead.
Kuiper's worthless. Just some comments on the Patriots. You know, clearly a team that's in transition, particularly on defense. Five starters gone from last year: Harrison, Seymour, Bruschi, Vrabel, and Hobbs. And clearly the Patriots, you know, with Wilfork and Seymour both in their final years of contracts, they traded Seymour, and you know, I would suspect will try and re-sign Wilfork. And defensively, they're ranked in the 20s. But interestingly enough, in their losses, outside of the loss to New Orleans where they just got blown away, particularly the loss to the Jets, 16-9, a loss to Denver, 20-17, where the defense gave up 17 points in regulation, and the 22-21 loss to Miami a couple weekends ago. These were all games that Brady had an opportunity to win for them. And, you know, I was able to watch the game, and I think one of the things that we've discounted is Brady had a knee reconstruction, and to expect him to have come back and to be Brady is to ignore the history of the injury.
No, I think everyone is. I think everyone is forgiving of of what he's up against this year. I think everyone is understanding that that's a 2-year recovery, and that seldom does a guy come back and step right back to the level he left when he got injured.
And his recovery wasn't without hitches.
There was a fear that his career was in danger. He had infections in there, and as late as last winter, he had to have more work done.
They were talking at one point about completely redoing.
Yes, the graft.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'll, you know, for them to be successful in at least in this year, he'll need to get better. But interestingly enough, he's thrown for almost 4,000 yards and has a rating of 93.7.
Yeah.
But on the road, he's not been very good. And if they expect to win in the playoffs, they're going to have to go on the road.
Well, let me tell you who else hasn't been real good. Randy Moss. All right?
Yep.
And let me give you some other stuff, other little pieces of information that might explain his passer rating, his year not having been as successful as past years. There's a guy in the AFC East called Darrell Revis he has to play against twice now, who wasn't there back in 2007 when they went undefeated.
Well, he was a rookie in 2007.
Was he a rookie?
Yeah,
in 2007?
Yeah, and he really shut Moss down.
But he was a rookie.
But you're right, though, Brian. He did shut Moss down.
Shut
so I'm
down.
Wrong on this one. But, okay, we'll go back to 06, you know, in the years before that. So, I mean, The league is catching up to Tom Brady. It'll catch up to all of these guys, including Peyton Manning. Everybody gets old. Hey, look at Brett Favre. Wasn't that lovely to watch last Sunday night? I mean, you want to talk about someone tell him he's old.
He's not.
Jeff, he was terrible.
He had a bad game, but if you look at Brett Favre's
This is almost too easy.
Year.
I'm surprised I didn't pick this fight.
Brett Favre has had a phenomenal year.
Yes, he has. But just like last year, when these old guys get to December, they get cold, old and cold. And that's what he looked like on Sunday night.
On Sunday he did.
Okay.
Okay, but the weeks prior to that, he's looked pretty good.
But you would agree that age catches up to all these guys. Oh, that the league catches up to them. The young guys catch up to them.
But you know, Vic, you have a tendency to think it catches up faster than it does.
Jeff, he hasn't won a playoff game since when, Brian? Since he was young. I mean, what's he done?
Here's the thing, and he didn't look that good against the Cardinals.
So he was awful against the Giants 2 years ago in the playoffs.
He's had a couple of bad games, so December is what you're saying is when he starts to turn it down.
Did he win a playoff game the year they lost to the Giants, or was that the first game?
Yeah, they did. They did, because
that's right, they beat the Seahawks.
That was the NFC Championship.
Right, that's right.
And he threw a couple of picks. Would you agree that in December, the last couple of years, his performance has
absolutely. I mean, well, particularly last year it has, and obviously his last year in Green Bay, it scaled down a little bit. But, I mean, hey, look.
That's where the age comes
I'm just
from.
Saying is that, hey, Vic, you were saying that Manning was done prior to this year. The Colts were done. I mean, these guys can still play. You know,
the Colts thing, I was wrong. And what I was wrong about was this. I thought I explained this once before. They were one of four teams that was facing Armageddon on the salary cap. They were dead. They were dead. I underestimated the stupidity of these owners, that they would actually allow a total football revenue model and agree to a CBA that included it, which at that point then there was no more cap. Next year is an uncapped year. What does it matter? We have had no cap since 2006, and the Colts were allowed to escape when they were facing the end of times. They were over the cap. They were done. They were belly up, and the CBA of 2006 let them off the hook.
Mm-hmm. 355 NFL.
Some of these old quarterbacks can still play. I mean, Brett Favre is the second highest rated passer in the National Football League.
Okay. Yeah.
That Vikings team would be.
Tom Brady, even though he is coming back from a major knee injury, he's still right up there in the top 10.
I'm all for Brady because he's still a relatively young guy. All he's got to do is recover from the injury. The Favre situation, you know, they went with this guy and there were hats and horns and they were selling jerseys and season tickets and everything was great. Next year, is it going to be bad?
Have you looked at his
numbers? He's going to be gone. Ticket sales are going to be gone. There's going to be ugliness everywhere.
I haven't really followed his numbers at all.
He's having a phenomenal year.
Great numbers.
He's thrown 460 passes.
Yeah.
Completed 67.8% of them. That's 3,565 yards he has. But here's the part that really, 27 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions,
yep,
and a passer rating at 104.1. I mean, I knew he had played well because the Vikings were winning, but my goodness, I didn't realize.
But what good is it if he doesn't carry it into the postseason?
You're absolutely right.
He has the second lowest interception percentage.
Wow.
In the league.
Okay.
So, just had a couple of bad games in recent weeks.
But now, will that continue? Is it a trend, or is it just a one-time occurrence?
You know as well as I do, Jeff. You know as well as I do that the old guys belly up late in the year.
Yeah, but sometimes the old guys can do it.
Well, they go to Chicago. This will be fun. They go to Chicago for a Monday night game in the cold.
That's like going to...
Well, I know Chicago's not all that good, but we'll see.
Yeah. But no, you're right. In the cold, you're right.
You know, if
you're right.
Thing's going to show up, it'll show up Monday night. We'll see. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Let's grab John down at Keystone. John, welcome to the show. Hello, John.
No, John.
Sadly,
probably waited for an hour. Poor guy.
I think he waited just.
You know. You know who I think though. If let me ask you this, Vic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you are building a team, pick one quarterback. Who would it be? Now in the league.
Okay, but you see, it's Peyton Manning. Except I wouldn't pick him, Jeff, because I want to go young. I would be picking
No.
Matt Ryan would probably be my guy. Okay. I want a young guy who I really think is going to be the next Peyton Manning.
See, I'm kind of leaning towards Aaron Rodgers.
Outstanding.
Every time that I've watched this guy, he's been fantastic.
I totally understand your opinion on him. He has been fantastic.
I mean, he really is.
I would have said Rodgers too.
Yeah.
Watch that game.
Love his toughness.
The Monday night game that they played a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember who they played.
I don't know, but I
just two, three.
San Francisco.
Yes.
Lit him up.
He's tough. He's smart.
He was great on Sunday.
He's accurate.
Yep.
And he really carries that team on his shoulders.
Yep.
He's a pretty big guy too. He doesn't look it.
There is
He's 6'4",
I like his attitude. You know what I love most about him is his attitude. I mean, think about what he had to deal with the whole Brett Favre thing, mm-hmm. and how he handled that. I mean, he handled that perfectly.
What's his age, Brian? Can you look it up?
I am right now. He
because I think he's older than Roethlisberger.
Might be. Yeah, he might be.
He sat the bench there for a while. But there is a great crop of a great core of young quarterbacks in the league. Rodgers. And I think Sanchez is going to be a good quarterback. And I love Matt Ryan. And Roethlisberger is obviously, you know, a two-time Super Bowl winner and one of the premier guys in the league. There's a lot of good young quarterbacks. It looked like Jay Cutler was going to be one of those guys. I don't know what the heck's happened to him. I can't figure that out. Nuts?
Mental.
Okay.
It's all mental.
Flacco is going to be an outstanding quarterback. There's another one. And Carson Palmer has now regained his stride.
He's 26.
Who is?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. And how old is Roethlisberger?
I'll look that up next.
I bet he's the same.
He's about the same
age. Yeah.
You know, because Ben failed a couple grades back in the day.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. He didn't pass his motorcycle class.
So I mean, look at the quarterback names I'm throwing out there. Matt Schaub. Is a wonderful quarterback.
Roethlisberger's 27.
Okay.
He was born in 82.
Okay.
Like I said, he fell a couple grades.
Yeah, I mean, if you're picking him, it's not for his technique.
If you polled 32 general managers, how many times would Roethlisberger be chosen?
A lot.
You think so?
Yeah, because you don't have to have an offensive line. I'm just joking.
Well,
with you.
But you saw how many times he.
No,
got
but that's a true statement.
Here's what Jeff is saying, though, and I understand. He's with a guy like Roethlisberger, you're not going to get the route tree and the progression. You're just going to get the damn ball thrown into the end zone and scored.
It was the Ravens that they beat on Monday Night Football a couple of weeks back. Aaron Rodgers, he looked so good against that.
Oh, yes, defense. That's right. That's
it was
right.
The Ravens. I knew he looked great. I was trying to remember.
Flacco, there's another name. And Carson Palmer's not an old guy yet. And there's a lot of torch carriers, you know, at the quarterback position in this league right now. Young guys coming forward. And I'm sure I've missed some, too.
All right. Time for a break. We've got one more segment. Jaguars This Week rolls along our Christmas edition right after this.
Christmas tree lights so people wouldn't have to drive all the way out to nowhere and wait for a whole Saturday.
They invented them, Russ, because people forgot how to have a fun, old-fashioned family Christmas and are satisfied with scrawny, dead, overpriced trees that have no special meaning.
Chosen them?
You see, kids, this is what our forefathers did.
I can't feel my leg.
They walked out into the woods, they picked out that special tree, and they cut it down with their bare hands.
Mom, I can't feel my hip. Clark.
Yes, honey.
Audrey's frozen from the waist down.
Well, that's all part of the experience, honey.
What will you do without Christmas vacation? Now, you watch it on Thanksgiving every day.
Yeah.
Every year,
we've
right?
watched it already.
How many times?
A couple times. I've got it down by heart now. There's actually a story behind this.
Sure.
If you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, I know the story, but I know our listeners would like to hear it also.
I'm going to tell it and ask Vic tomorrow, too, but it goes back to 1993, Christmas morning, early Christmas morning, 1993. I had to fly to Seattle. I was covering the Steelers. The charter was leaving for a game in Seattle Christmas morning. Oh, it was one of those classic, you know, gray, half rain,
typical
half snow.
Typical Pittsburgh.
Yeah, rain. Exactly. I get to the airport like 9 o'clock. I've been up, you know, I left my children at 7 o'clock on Christmas morning to go to an airport and get on an airplane to fly to Seattle and get on a plane. And everyone is, you can sitting there, you can see they're all depressed. Everyone feels the same way. They take us into the de-icing machine, all the stuff, the de-icer flying all over the plane. That's when the depression really hit me. I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? You know, whatever I was in, 42, and I've left my children on Christmas morning, and now I'm going to fly 6 hours to Seattle, and when I get there, all the restaurants will be closed. And even the one in the hotel restaurant will be closed. You know, I don't have anything to eat. I'm just poor me, woe is me, blah, blah, blah. plane takes off. We're in the air maybe a half hour, and the flight attendants pass out the earphones. They're going to show a movie. Now, in those days, seeing a movie on a plane was a big deal. I mean, you didn't, not like today with the TV screen and the seat in front
on
of
demand,
you, behind,
right,
in the back of the seat in front of you, that sort of thing. And they put on, lo and behold, Christmas Vacation. It was, at that time, like 3-4 years old. And I had seen it once in passing, but I had never really sat and watched it. And it turned out to be like the greatest Christmas morning of my life. Everybody on that plane, Jeff, all these ball players are just busting a gut. I mean, people are roaring. I'll never forget. And there was a player on the team named Tim McCire.
Yeah, cornerback.
Cornerback. And he was a different kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking back the aisle, and he had a big smile on his face. I can't even say what he said, but it was hilarious. You know, he started with something like, "Yeah, I'll tell you, those white people." And, you know, and it bonded the whole plane. I mean, everybody was laughing. Everyone was, spirits were cheered up.
Did they win?
No, they got hammered.
It was the movie's fault.
They got clobbered.
No more movies on the way to Seattle.
But as soon as the plane landed, it was back to Depression City because there were no restaurants open, the whole thing. And, you know, it was crap.
It was like 99 when we went to Nashville, and the only place open was the Wild Horse Saloon, and the only thing they had were chicken fingers.
99.
Merry Christmas. Remember and we
beer.
Went,
yes.
Yeah.
They had beer.
It was the Wild Horse, at least.
Beer's okay.
They had country line dancing to Christmas songs.
But anyhow, I remember. Brunell hurt his knee.
Oh, and Steve McNair threw 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That was the day Darren McNair died.
So that's how my love affair with that movie started. It's not only just that it entertains me, it is also a warm glow for it.
All right, let's grab a couple of phone calls here. We'll go with Derek, who joins us from the West Side. Hello, Derek. Welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Quick question. Do you think the comment that Fred Taylor made, basically he's trying to do us a favor, he's using his status as a fan favorite to basically say what nobody inside the organization can say?
Nah. Fred is just being Fred.
Yeah, how so, though? I mean,
I got to imagine, you know, the guys, all they can do is show up on Sunday and play. They can't buy a ticket and sit in the stands as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do what they can do, but it's on us as fans to show up and show our support. We can't sit home and talk about it. We got to be about it. We got to show up at the stands.
I think if you are obviously taking it that way, you're being smart. Because his message is sound. There is nothing wrong. You know, what Fred said today, if you read my story, he said, the truth hurts. And in this case, the truth is that if you don't fill this stadium, you're going to lose your team. And that's all he's saying. He's saying the obvious, and people don't want to hear it. If it awakens all of us because Fred Taylor said it and not Vic Ketchman, if it awakens everybody because one of the guys who's going to be on the wall of this stadium in the Pride of the Jaguars said it, then good. Then he did us all a favor. He also went on to say that it's a bummer for these players to come out of the tunnel and see empty seats. He talked about what a downer it was.
It is.
If that means something now because, dun-da-da-da, Fred Taylor said it, then good. I'm glad he said it.
Exactly. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the phone call. And John has rejoined us from Keystone Heights. Final call of the evening. John, make it good.